Guess who's back? Back again. Joey's back. Tell your friends. That's right, listeners. Sourcecast is back. And I have to admit, I really miss doing the show. For me, doing Sourcecast or doing any podcast is an exercise in creativity. And it's nice to 100% own something and create something and put it out into the world. And I certainly missed that sense of ownership over the course of the summer. But that's not to say that I did nothing over the summer, or I wasn't working on a major project. It just so happens that that project is done privately, and I shouldn't speak about it. And while I won't talk about what the project was, I am going to focus this week's episode on some of the lessons that I learned going through that project. This project that I worked on all year had major impacts on my personal life. As a result of this project, I advanced from a career perspective. And when that happened, when I was promoted, I found it very difficult to communicate that news to friends and family. I don't think I was prepared to share my success, and in fact even accept it. This is one of the rare occasions that when I advanced in my career, it was tied strictly to a project, to a hard deliverable, to a series of milestones and events that have to occur within a short period of time. So I didn't have time to really think about it. And this week's podcast, it's not about me. I'm just using this personal anecdote to segue into an episode about how to handle success. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode 127. For this week's episode, I pieced together a series of articles and bits of advice that I think are appropriate for the topic. There was an article on thoughtcatalog.com, 12 Ways to Handle Success by Lev Novak. And the first thing that Lev says is, don't tell everyone. The point that every article makes when they say, be careful how you communicate this, is you can come off as gloating. And I very much was self-conscious about that. And to take a side note, there's another article, 7 Ways to Talk About Your Accomplishments Without Sounding Like a Braggart by Amy Morin from Forbes. And those 7 things, we're going to do a lot of lists and nested lists here in this podcast. Number 1 is to keep the emphasis on your hard work. Saying, oh, that was easy, or I barely tried, sounds arrogant. But when you accomplish something big, emphasize on the hard work that you've done. Number 2, don't belittle other people. Number 3, give credit where credit is due. Number 4, stick to the facts. Number 5, express gratitude. Number 6, don't add a qualifier. And number 7, avoid the humble brag. So those are some methods that when you are communicating your success to people, you can avoid making someone else feel terrible. Back to the Lev Novak list. Number 2, do the things you swore you'd do if X happened. You should celebrate. You should hold true to your boasts. But also remember to speak in moderation. One of the crazy things that I always said that I would do if I got an office was put a popcorn machine in there. But facilities will not let me do that. So that dream will have to wait. Number 3, remember your failures, both to humble and to excite you. Number 4, remember the time before your success. You were okay, right? Before your promotion? Don't let the promotion or the success own you, and that if the success goes away, you would be okay. Success does not define you. Number 5, share your success. Instead of going out and spending $150 on yourself on a baller steak, which you should do too, probably, spend that $150 buying your friends a round of burgers and shakes. But there is a flip side to this as well. I like to share the wealth. I like to pick up the tab with my friends. But if it is done excessively, or if it's not done at the right moments, you can also make people feel small if you consistently do that. So you have to be aware of the situation and know when the right time to pick up the tab is and when it isn't. Number 6. There are always going to be people who have more and those that have less. Find a way to balance those two feelings, and you can combine gratitude with vision and ambition to propel you. Number 7. Save some success for a rainy day. Let it last and breathe. Don't blow it all on a boat. Do not let your momentum trick you into assuming your success is permanent. That is something that I am constantly thinking about. You have to keep performing, you have to keep delivering, and you cannot rest on your laurels. Which is why this podcast is back. Number 8, do something you always wanted to do. If you're not going to do it now, when will you do it? Number 9, indulge deeply in cheap, simple, and non-destructive ways. The author Lev goes on to say that there is an impulse to go nuts when you're successful, so go nuts in a safe space and place. perhaps a strong playlist, friends, and a very strong brew at home is going to be much better than going off to paint the town and use your credit card. Number 10, savor it. This did not come cheap or easy. Do not take it for granted. Get pumped, grateful, and psyched. Number 11, stunt on them haters. I didn't write this. This is actually on the printed word. Invent haters if you have to. Then proceed to stunt on them. What is stunting on haters? Just showing off and showing that you're skilled?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, real hate, man, that's like an art form, man. You know, it's like, you like a born a hater, you know, like myself, man. You know, a lot of cats think they hate, but man, I mean, I'm mad at everything, man. You know, brother got a nice car, man. Why you got a car, man? I only got one car. Why you got three cars or a wife or all that, man? That, man, that's played out. Yeah, that's what real hating is all about, man.
Do the money dance. What's the money dance? Put a big chunk of your success and money into savings and debts and savor every penny you waste, knowing full well you can afford to waste them. And then number 12, the author again says, really, do the money dance. So this article basically focused on how to internalize success and to be okay with it. But there are a lot of external factors that you can't control that you have to learn how to cope with when you are advancing and when you have success. One of the first things my leadership told me to do once I got promoted was to read The First 90 Days by Michael D. Watkins. One of the first things that that book says is that the things that got you to the party are not necessarily the things that will keep you in the party. And for the first couple of weeks after I'm reading this book, I'm saying to myself, is that a subtle way that this entire group of leaders is telling me that I need to totally change up my game? Do I have to totally shift everything that I did and become this other person for this project? And I would say that the answer in some ways was yes, and in some ways was no. For me, in a work environment, when the pressure is on, I get very focused and I get very alpha. Let's keep pushing, let's keep moving. And I feel that that's a trait that my leadership wanted me to bring to the project and convey and move forward. However, one of the things that I consciously decided to do, because there was many people participating in this project, was to not get aggressive or bare my fangs, so to speak. I basically did what I did with this podcast. I took on my NPR voice. There's a much friendlier, smiling version of me on a day-to-day basis. And that tonal shift was the right tone for the vast majority of this project. In the last 30 days, that was time to hit the throttle, but that's like any project. One of the first things that Michael Watkins says to do in the book is to identify your strengths and weaknesses and to make a list. The second step is to force yourself to prioritize responsibilities in terms of importance rather than preference. The example he gives is you may love giving presentations, but hate to build spreadsheet models. But building the spreadsheet models is the thing that's likely to get you to your next promotion. So don't schedule too many PowerPoint presentations and put off the spreadsheet modeling. Another point that the book stresses consistently is making a good impression, especially from the get-go. And this quote was taken from an interview with Michael D. Watkins by Forbes. And I quote, "I see people focus too much on the technical job skills and not enough on the company's politics. Build key relationships early. Ask your boss, who is it critical that I get to know? And then invite those people to coffee or lunch and pick their brains. Don't just focus vertically on managers above you. Also create horizontal alliances with colleagues. You want to have support at all levels." This point is absolutely true, especially in terms of a project. If you want people to accept the changes that you're introducing into a company via this project, you have to get people on board, you have to get people comfortable, and you have to make people feel like their concerns are being heard and actually being addressed. Another thing Michael D. Watkins talks about is how to deal with new bosses. And I quote, "Some people try to change their boss, and that doesn't work. You need to get accustomed to your manager's style and idiosyncrasies. Maybe, for instance, your boss loves meetings, and you don't. If you follow her lead and schedule them, you're more likely to please her. It's also crucial to do work that matters to your boss. Even if you wouldn't prioritize it the same way, you should prioritize the way your boss does in the first 90 days. That is absolutely true and absolutely on point. At the end of the day, your first line of defense, if something's bubbling up and people aren't coming directly to you, is your direct manager. And if you're running around doing things that displeases that manager, and you have other things that are bubbling up around you that you may not be aware of, it is critical to make sure that your boss has your back and you are doing things to make them feel good about having your back. I've always prided myself on being someone that younger workers and people advancing in their career could come to for advice. And over the last year, the frequency has increased, certainly. Both coworkers and friends, throughout the course of the year, they came to me and asked advice on how to move up in their careers or make job changes. In a lot of situations, it's hard to give advice because the path that I took is a very specific one, and there are always other options. But the one thing that I've consistently shared with my friends and coworkers is that you have to keep your eyes open and you have to be willing to make changes. We all fall into certain patterns, and we all look at ourselves a certain way. For the longest time, I viewed myself as a technical guy, a computer guy. But I had to make a shift 10 years ago and really start to see myself as a procurement specialist. And eventually, in your career, all these little bits and pieces and side roads that you've gone down, there will always be some point where these skills that you've developed will combine and make you a great candidate for some new and exciting opportunity, which is why you have to get yourself out of your box and you have to try new things. Before I wrap things up, I guess I will take this time to publicly say thank you to all of the people who have worked on this project with me for the last year, and to also say thank you to my wife, who has put up with me not being around for the course of the year. Even though the listeners who don't know me have no idea what I'm talking about, I hope you've enjoyed my extraction of my experiences of this project, and I hope you've learned something. I'm sure I will figure out a way to shoehorn this topic into another podcast without divulging any specific information. But again, thank you to those of you who know me and for putting up with me for the last year. And if any bosses are listening, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do so. And with that, I'm going to enjoy the rest of my Labor Day weekend, and I certainly hope you are as well, although probably by the time you hear this, it will be the end of Labor Day. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with a potentially wrestling-themed episode. I know you're going to be so excited.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sportscast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sportscast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.